Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the Worcester Report. This is Tony Coppell. A little later in the program, Lauriane will be giving you a way to grow in God, illustrated by But God moments. And at the end of the program, we're not quite sure what's going to happen because load shedding is scheduled for 9 o'clock local time. And that's exactly when this program, or the main part of it, should end. I may therefore not put our normal half hour of soaking prayer music at the end. We'll just finish at the same place that the podcast finishes. But first, we love bringing you missionary stories. I think there's an ulterior motive. We'd like to persuade more people to become missionaries. Today, Marius Rabi tells us about a recent mission trip that he and his whole family went to Brazil. We're getting to the point on our interviews where we think it's appropriate and it's fun to interview some people for the second time, see how they're going. And why is this is interest to you, dear listener, is you can go back and listen to the first interview. Today I'm with Marius Rabi, and he was first interviewed on the 21st of June 2018. And my reason then was because I thought he's a wonderful worship leader in our church, Worcester Christian Church. I just wanted to know more about the, particularly the music side of this man. But since then, big things have happened in his life. And I should first say welcome to CWCP Radio, Marius, again. Yeah,
thank you very much for having me.
So he decided to take his whole family to Brazil on a mission trip. He left on the 22nd of November last year, and he came back on the 10th of January in Brazil. Now, I think that takes a lot of guts. I think it takes a lot of all sorts of things. But I was very relieved when you got back here
alive
in one piece. So you were with a small group of people, I believe. It wasn't just you and a family.
Yes, we were two families. Yes.
Let's just name those people, the particular people in the group that you were with.
We went with Mario and Lika Junior Meloem. Mario Junior Meloem. I'm not that Portuguese yet. And they are missionaries from Brazil, and they are working in Worcester, and they are working up in Africa with YWAM and with Action, the two missionaries that they are involved with.
Yeah, we know Mario. I think I've interviewed him as well. So, a very good person to go on a first mission trip.
Yes.
Because this was your first mission trip, wasn't it?
Yes. I want to say holiday / mission, because we had some good holiday experiences, but then over the weekends we were at different churches. Yes.
So what was the format of this mission? Did you have a prearranged list of venues, of churches that you were going to go and visit? Or did you work it out as you went along, or what?
No, Mario went back to the churches that helps him and funds him for their work in South Africa. And we went, in the beginning God spoke to us that we need to start helping missionaries and just walking with them and encouraging them. And this was part of just going with them and just lifting their hands up. So he had different churches that we went to on Sundays and where he ministered. And then I was leading the worship, and at one point I also had the opportunity to preach for an hour. So, which was also good, yeah.
But you don't speak Portuguese, Mario.
Yeah, that was quite funny, because before we left was they told me that I mustn't do any songs in Portuguese. The people want to hear us worship. They want to hear us worship in English. And when we got there, and as we started in the first evening, I realized that I was singing the songs, but no one could engage because no one knew what I was singing. Actually, I was doing Jabulani, 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 Africa, the first song, to make it more Africa. And I mixed up the verses, so I forgot the words. It was just confusing. But in the middle of it, I realized it doesn't matter because they don't understand what I'm singing. So, well, but it went, from there on, it went better. So we went back home. We took Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, and Holy, You Are Holy, from third day. And we transposed it into Portuguese. And I had a very quick introduction, so I had to change my strategy. And from there on, it actually went well. I'm still singing what I don't know what I'm singing, but I'm singing Portuguese.
Now, what I'd like you to do now is to give us a blow-by-blow account of one of the evenings, one of the churches that you arrived at, so that we really feel what it was like for you. Can you do that in some detail?
Yeah,
just one example.
Yeah, what we normally would do is, if you the church structures are a little bit different than ours, and I must just say Brazilians are very friendly people. I don't know if it's only the Christian people that are very friendly, but the people that we spoke to all over Brazil it's been really an amazing experience. So everyone was helpful and friendly and really enjoyed us, our company, being there. So in the evenings we would arrive there, and they would have their songs, they would have their different structures in the worship. So they will say, for instance, have a scripture reading, and then they will have someone that sings a song, and then they will have another person that gives a scripture, and it will continue in that fashion until the Mario is called up. When he's called up, they would tell the people what Mario is doing, and Mario will have a couple of words, and then he would call us, me and Yolanda. Yolanda was helping me with the computer and the words, and then before his sermon we would do two, three songs, and just really trust the Lord to engage, and that there's a manifest presence, that there's an atmosphere, and that happened most of the time for me as well. I don't know how the Brazilians experienced it, but at least I sense God's presence. And then he would minister, and he would take the evening from there. So that was basically the structure of the evenings when we were there.
And at the end, would you socialize with the people, or?
We would try to. In one of the churches in Annapolis, an amazing church, it's called Connection Church, and they are about 1,400 vibrant young people. It's not a congregation. I didn't even see one person that's over 50. I don't think so. Otherwise, they look very, very young. But even there, we spoke to one person that were from America, and there was maybe one or two people that spoke to us in broken English. So if we were at a church, let's say a church of 500-600 people, there might be three people that spoke English.
Yeah.
So so most of the people were just friendly, and just saying hi. But yeah. Also something funny is that my Portuguese is not good, so I was learning bon dia and boa tarde and bon noite, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. So I was sometimes so confused that the people will say bon noite, good evening, and I would say obrigado, which is thank you. So, so that was quite very not humiliating, but humbling just to get the language sorted. But yeah, people spoke to us in broken English, and we communicated quite well. Yeah.
Now, you also said a few minutes ago that one of the purposes was to encourage missionaries.
Yes.
And I know this is close to your heart, because we've spoken about this before, and you appreciate the fact that missionaries who've been in the field maybe for years,
yes,
often don't have people coming and encouraging them, and maybe saying, oh, you're doing a good job. They have no idea if they're doing a good job.
Yes.
So were you able to do any of that sort of encouragement?
Well, Mario was really the only missionary family that we were with every day. But at a lot of places, like in Merisema, it's about 1,000 kilometers north of Guyana, where Mario comes from. There was a couple of, one specific missionary works with Indians in the river in the Amazon there, and he's got a congregation and things are really going well. So we would speak to them, and then the Lord will just start to speak to us and give us prophetic word, and we would be able to minister. Even the pastor in that specific church, we had an opportunity to speak into his life, and he had a couple of decisions that he wanted to make. And he was at a point that he was really discouraged. And we could just give him our perspective on God's heart for his life, where he was at the moment. And that really brought encouragement to him concerning where the Lord was leading him. So I really believe that it's our missionaries need encouragement from the base. We even experienced it being there with... because we had a prayer group that was praying for us here in South Africa, and even though it was not, we were not at a place where we would be killed for the gospel, and but we were far away from home, and that just that scripture that encourages, that just that voice note to say, "Hi, Marius, how are you guys doing?" That did so much for us and our moral stand, and just the vibrancy, and just keeping the energy going. Concerning being effective and knowing that your work is not undone, that your work is not in vain, that God has got a plan and He's got a purpose, and just continue. So our hearts has really been to, and in the next season as well, I believe that the Lord wants us to impact and to help missionaries that are struggling and that are losing hope. There's a lot of missionaries that we know of, that we've heard, that leave the mission field because of that, and we need to encourage them.
Well, speaking as a missionary, I want to say how very important this is. It's so good when somebody, in any way at all, maybe even just a like on Facebook or something like that, it means a lot to us when we see those things. It really does. Now, you're coming from South Africa. You're with Mario, and he is Brazilian. Were the Brazilians there that you met? What sort of a view did they have of South Africa? Was it a completely unknown place, or what sort of feeling did you get? Had about South Africa?
The first week, I think, was the most revealing, because it was very emotional, because we went to two different cells that they had, and both of them had the farm murders on their heart. How dangerous is it in South Africa? Mario, are you safe? What is going on in South Africa? How is the political situation? How do you work? How do you work in Avian Park? And how do you do all the work that you are doing with everything that we are hearing? So they were very sympathetic about what is happening in South Africa.
So they knew about it?
Yes. Yes.
The two countries have one similarity. There's a relatively high level of Christianity in both of them.
Yes.
Although we read about some sort of this sort of not total harmony between the Catholics and the evangelicals.
Yes.
Did you see any evidence of that sort of thing?
You know, if we take it back, a little bit of the history of Brazil is that they had slavery in their country for 350 years, And there were more than 7 million slaves imported into Brazil. And they, I think they stopped in the mid-1850s. And a lot of division that were there. I mean, in Brazil, there's a lot of Portuguese, there's a lot of Indian, there's your German influence, there is Italian influence. And but what I've seen now is that I haven't seen the division that I'm seeing in South Africa as a positive, that I haven't seen, I didn't see, even though we made a calculation that in South Africa the chances of being murdered is about 1 out of 2,840 somewhere in that direction, and in Brazil it's about 1 out of 3,400 thereabout. So it's actually very close in that direction, but there's much more unity that I'm seeing. The Germans are not breaking down the Portuguese, are not breaking down, the cultures are standing together actually, and that's been a very important thing for me to see, that even though in South Africa where we are at the moment, there is hope in our country for our different groups that comes together. I think one of the things maybe that is making it a little bit more difficult in South Africa is that we've got 11 languages, national languages, where in Brazil it's only one. Doesn't matter what you speak Portuguese. And I think with that, it helps a lot for people to understand and communicate what they truly feel and what they need to go through.
Now, you were going from one church to another church, presumably by car. What's it like driving in Brazil?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, they drive on the right side of the road. And for 25 years, I've driven on the left side of the road. So that was crazy. In town, everyone drives crazy, but there's not, it's not the, you don't see the road rage like you see in South Africa. In towns, there's a lot of traffic, and you just push in where you need to go, and you just drive, and your stop streets are not a stop street. It's a toegee. I don't know what is that in English. So at a stop street, you don't stop. You just look in the evenings, if there's a red light, you just look left and right, and if there's no cars, you just go. And so that was quite different. Our travel up to Merisema is about 900 kilometers from Goiânia. That was on a national road. And in between calculating the road has been driven out by trucks, and it's very hot, so the tar stands up at some points maybe 5 or 6 or 7 centimeters from the ground. They have a road next to the road, but that's also about 5 centimeters or 6 centimeters lower than your national road, so there's a wobble, and with that it's your potholes. With that you need to calculate the trucks that is driving faster than the vehicles or the cars. And in between that, there's motorcycles that flows in between. And then you have your buckies that you will drive 110 with 110, maybe 120 max. Then they come past you at 140. So you look out and it's up and downhill. So it was quite nerve-wracking. We went up, I had to drive by myself, and coming down, it was really nerve-wracking, but luckily we had a strong prayer team in South Africa that was praying for us.
Brazil's been in revival for, 10 years now, I think. What kind of evidence did you see of a country in revival, in Christian revival?
There's Assemblies of God churches on every corner. if you go into a, specifically in Goiânia where we were, if you drive into the areas, there's sometimes churches that are across one another, and everyone has got members. The church in the specifically the Pentecostal church is thriving, and people are loving the Lord, and they've got a passion for the Lord. So yeah, so definitely, that's definitely. I won't say revival. There's a lot of awareness about God. It's not that in some countries where they don't believe in anything, they definitely believe, and they have a relationship with. Obviously, maybe my perspective is a little bit different, but the church is definitely alive and well and healthy in Brazil. Yes.
When you lead worship, you add an extra ingredient that not too many worship leaders do. You between the songs, you will really invoke the Holy Spirit, and you'll show that this is a way for two-way communication.
Yes.
Did you do that when you were there, and what kind of response did you?
I couldn't do it too much, no, because the worship is quite structured, and some places they will flow into that dimension, but maybe that's something that I can teach them next time.
Your yes. son Jason plays keyboard here in Worcester Christian Church.
Yes.
Was he doing that also there? Because you had all your children with you.
Sometimes we only arrived at a church 15 minutes before it started. Mm-hmm. So there were no time for rehearsal, no time for practice. It was just, here we are, go plug in the guitar and play. So it was too quick.
So at least you had something to plug into.
Yeah. No. The musical equipment that the guys had in Brazil was amazing. I mean, that one in Connection Church, all the churches has got Lion Ray speakers. That's top of the range. All the people that were playing in the bands had in-ears. You had little monitors on stage. Very professional. These guys, no. These guys are on a different level when it comes to leading worship. And it was very encouraging to see.
Did your children enjoy this whole trip like a holiday? Or was it actually quite hard work for them?
No, they felt it as a holiday. But obviously the beginning of the trip was the beginning and the end of the trip was difficult. In the beginning of the trip, most of us were sick. So we had had to work through sore throats and fevers just getting adapted to Brazilian the nature and the temperature and which took about 10 days for us to adapt. And then towards the end, I think we were getting a little bit homesick. We were missing our own bed and our own house and just South Africa. And we were just missing South Africa in general. But for them, the flying, we had about 10 flights. So they were enjoying the up and downs with the aeroplane, and just because they were in one another's company for so much, they quite had a. Sometimes they wanted to kill one another. We still experience that still when we are after we've been back, but at least we're handling that day by day.
And if you got sick or ill, did you just go to a pharmacy and ask for some medicine, or did you actually see doctors?
Drogaria. Pharmacies on every corner. Yeah. But we, specifically with me and Eva, we were really not at a good place. So we went to a government hospital there, and luckily we knew one of the people that were in the hospital. Lika knew one of the medical assistants, and she helped us get into the system and for the doctor to see us and just to give us some antibiotics.
Oh, yes. So corruption worked for you.
Yes. Yeah. It's not. It's who you know. But that one was on a low level. Otherwise, we would have also waited like in South Africa for 4 or 5 hours.
Let's go back to this subject of revival or greater interest in spiritual matters
yes.
and so on. people often say in Africa that it's that Christianity is a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yes.
And what is desperately needed is discipleship, showing yes. people that it's more than just making a decision.
Yes.
It's show, encouraging fruit and so on.
Yes.
Now, how does that apply in Brazil? Would you say that people are being discipled, and were you able to, or your group able to do some discipling at all?
The discipling, not really, because of the language barrier. That was a big thing, because you can't go up to someone and start to speak, because they've got no idea what you're saying. So the discipleship is not that, for us, we didn't do a lot of discipleship. But I think it's very important, and I really believe that if you look at the sizes of the churches and the how the Pentecostal movement is growing in Brazil, there's definitely a lot of discipleship that are taking place. Mm. So if you look at the fruit, we didn't see a lot of discipleship when we were there, but because we were not there for a long time and we didn't focus on churches specifically, that we knew the inward working of the churches. But if you look at the fruit, if you look at the amount of people that join, if you look at the worship, if you look at the people that are communicating there, there's definitely discipleship, and there's definitely depth.
Now, Brazil is both a rich and a poor country. You know, they've got lots of resources and so on.
Yes.
Was there a lot of poverty around that you were seeing, were very poor people like we have here in the townships here in South Africa, or not?
Brazil doesn't have townships. Maybe in Rio there's a area, and I know in São Paulo, but where we were in Goiânia, you don't see the structures that you see in South Africa with the townships. There, even your poor people at least has got a piece of ground, and if they've got a piece of ground, at least they are building something. So it's more your brick structure, even though it's in a real poor community. You don't have the sink plot structures of houses. Mm. At least you've got, they are at a place where they are building with bricks and slowly getting their communities together. So that was an interesting thing to see as well. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We were never at a place where we, even though there were 2 or 3 days before that, there were people shot because of child trafficking. So they've got child trafficking also a lot that's happening there. Obviously, your drugs and is a big thing in Brazil, where you look out for. But even we were in a shopping center in Portal Shopping Center. Yes, I remember the name. And the one lady, we were in the food court and we were sitting there, she left all her bags, all her shopping on the table, on her seat, to keep her seat. And she went and she got some food. She took about 20, 25 minutes and she returned. If you did that in South Africa, everything would have been gone. So that was also something very interesting for us to see. So, yeah.
So now you are a very experienced missionary.
No.
Do you like the missionary life? Is it something that you'd like to continue doing in the future, Marius?
We had a soft landing in Brazil, I think. We had a soft landing. But missionary work has been, the Lord has been speaking to us this last season a lot. And yes, we love it. I love it. My wife loves it. Our children don't know at this point what they love about it, but they will. And but the Lord has really been encouraging us to just to keep focused, take it one day at a time, and allow Him just to stir the things and open up the doors that we need to go through. One of the scriptures that the Lord shared with us was in Joshua 1. But out of that whole Joshua 1, even though God promised them the promised land, they had to go and pursue it. So God will open the doors for you, but you need to step through it. And I think we are at that point where we are just trusting the Lord on a day-by-day basis to show us the doors, what He has opened, and by faith walk through them and possess what He has called us to do.
Marius Rabi, thank you very much for coming back to us and giving us a report back after a year. Yes. I was one of the people who was involved in praying for you while you were away, and you were always on our hearts, and every time there was a message saying that one of the children was ill, we got worried for you. And so again, sure. I say we're so happy to have you back here, back home again.
Thank you.
And may this missionary bug that you've now got, may it blossom.
Amen. Thank you.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in and through but God moments. My name is Laurianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we looked at principles on how to overcome. We learned that we win victory through focusing on God rather than circumstances. This means we focus on His power and His love for us. We must trust Him even though it doesn't make sense. We must be consistent and not stop. Remember Heidi Baker's words that if we do not quit, we will win. This means that we must continue in pressing forward one step at a time. At times it may be difficult, but in the end, it is worth it. You become stronger through the process. Don't forget to worship and replace fear with love. Keep grateful for all the little things which keeps your focus on what God is doing. That way, you can prepare for a coming season of joy. That's actually the beginning of a winning streak, for you are no loser. You are a winner in Christ. Remember that. You are a son or daughter in Christ. Sons and daughters often go through seasons of intense kindness from God, even in difficulties. Tony and I call these the kindnesses of God, TKOG. Our life and ministry has been full of them ever since we prepared to come to South Africa. These included favor, open doors, opportunities, gifts, finances just when we needed them, and so much more. Then our lives took a different turn, and I became sick, first with HS and then with breast cancer. Did this stop us? The cancer nearly did because of the decision of the travel insurance company to repatriate me. However, we strongly believe that I must stay in South Africa for the chemotherapy. It has been expensive, but we have been blessed with finances through friends, family, ministry partners, and windfalls just when we needed to pay the bills. We needed to stay to wrap up our ministry and also reduce risks to my health. This is our season of But Gods. A biblical But God story is from Joseph, where he was sold as a slave by his brothers. His life dipped lower when he was stuck in a prison for a crime he didn't commit and seemed to be stuck there for a while. Then finally, he was remembered by the cupbearer who Joseph had interpreted a dream for 2 years earlier. His dream interpretation gifting was used to turn his life around. One moment he was in prison, the next he was ministering to the Pharaoh like he did to Pharaoh's cupbearer. He was in prison, but God turned his life around. And he became the prime minister of Egypt. He also remembered God's purposes for his time as a slave and as an inmate. It seemed the years were wasted, but they were not. Joseph helped and did good to his employer Potiphar before his false accusation. Joseph helped in the prison and he helped in Pharaoh's palace. When he was reunited with his brothers, the same brothers who sold him into slavery, he in time revealed himself to them in a way that would save face. There was no retribution, but instead a loving explanation in private. Listen to Genesis 45, verses 4 to 8. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. But gods always have a story, and nearly always point to God's faithfulness and goodness as provider, healer, and so much more. Joyce Meyer also points to But God moments. She gives examples like, I thought my family would never change, but God. My family was spiraling out of control, but God. There was a time I thought I messed up everything, but God. The Bible says that Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came so we can enjoy our lives. Just read John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This but God moment is the one when God intervenes. Life may seem to go one way. Things may seem hopeless. But then, all of a sudden, a holy God intervenes and everything changes. Meyer shares that one of the main prayer requests she receives is for loved ones who don't know God and they're in some sort of trouble. When you know God and you see people living miserable lives and you can't get through to them, it's heartbreaking. But God can get through to them. Think of the Apostle Paul. He sought to kill and torment Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to find some more to torment. But God suddenly showed up. Paul was knocked off his horse and blinded for days. Jesus encountered him, and it changed his life completely. Meyer says that after this experience, Paul got the truth about Jesus and ended up mightily being used by God to lead many people to Christ. There are many other but God scriptures that we seem to gloss over as we read them. Stop and take note when scripture says, but God. The ultimate but God was when Jesus was laid in the tomb after he was taken down from the cross. In Acts 13, verses 29 to 30, it notes Jesus' death and adds, But God raised him from the dead. The Apostle Paul uses but God when he shared in Romans 5, For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul also gives God the glory in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 27. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, the few of you who were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. But God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Every time there is a but God, it shows a powerful, loving God who intervenes. It gives him glory. It shows that no one else could have orchestrated this turnaround. Here are some but God stories in the lives of people I know. One of our colleagues, Maggie, is an Irish missionary here with us in Western Cape. She came from a rough background, and having lost her mother, she began to lose her way in life. She became a rebel. But God reached into her life and turned her around. Instead of being a hard-hearted rebel, she is now loving, kind, and loves on many seniors, teens, and dogs in her area. She is known for her motherly shotgun kisses. Then there's Teresa, who runs a shelter, a church, and a ministry called House of Mercy. 12 years ago, she was a cocaine addict who nearly died. Yet in the middle of a crisis, she said to God, God, I love cocaine, but I love my daddy more. Holy Spirit spoke into her heart and asked why she didn't love herself. He reached her heart, and she turned to Jesus. She came to love her Heavenly Father even more than her daddy. She came to depend on his faithfulness in extreme trust and obedience. These days, Teresa and her husband are in 24/7 ministry with the homeless and those living in her church that's become a shelter in Baytown, Texas. Many times there are financial emergencies. Surprise gifts come often, for which he is incredibly grateful. However, sometimes the situation becomes desperate. Sometimes there is no money for the electricity bill or the phone bill, and then God intervenes with a shower of funds at just the right time. Here are two recent examples that happened after Christmas 2019. Teresa says December was a rough month for the ministry, but God sure enough did a miracle this morning. We could only make a payment on the light bill for December because it was so high, yet the finances were so low. We had to pay $300 today or they would be shut off. And then we got up at God. My husband Paul called the light company to check our balance one more time, and we only owed under $30. We are at the library right now using their computers for internet because our phones were cut off this morning. But they turned them back on. We got an extension. Our phones will be back in full swing when it's time, but we had to give God some praise for that light bill miracle. Hallelujah. This was on January 2nd. On January 3rd, there was another intervention. Someone then paid their phone bill. Teresa had no idea who, but she was thankful and blessed them a thousandfold. The light bill and the phone bill weren't the only interventions. Despite lacking finances, the shelter was still running. Teresa shares, I've been wanting to brag on God. It costs between $4,000 to $6,000 a month to run the church and shelter. In December, less than $2,000 came in, but God still made the way for the people here to eat, have showers, lights, water, and still have a place to live. We were way under budget last month, but God. Nobody but God can get the glory for this because in the natural, it makes absolutely no sense. Thank you, God, for always making the way and keeping your house and shelter open. Teresa also has stories of reformed addicts and those who have turned their lives around. Even her marriage was on the rocks and was restored so well that she and her husband are very much in love. Teresa demonstrates, to me, persistence and love, similar to Heidi Baker, who also has many But God interventions in Mozambique. But God is something you have to stop and take notice of. We also have some But God stories. I made it as an Irish missionary despite my bad knees. So we had to work around the problem. We still work with children and teens despite the mobility issues. And then the cancer came. What would happen to our ministry now? The insurance company insisted that I return to Canada before chemotherapy, despite strong protests from my surgeon and oncologist. The cancer advanced so fast that it's probable that I had traveled back to Canada without Tony and went to an Ottawa emergency room, that doctors there would have restarted the process. I could have moved to stage 4 cancer very fast, which would have been dangerous. I believe that God's intervention saved my life. I was shown through several impressions that we could stay another 6 months with crowdfunding for medical costs. The chemo treatments and the prayers of many people, including children, caused the tumor to shrink 60%. This is a But God. While we are here without insurance, a shower of funding came from friends and Tony's family. When the friends couldn't contribute anymore, we worked on getting the insurance company to pay at least my pre-chemo costs. Eventually they did. The funds arrived just in time to pay a large credit card bill full of medical costs. The insurance company kept saying no, and through prayer and appeals, there was a But God. God intervened and turned their hearts to at least cover what they would have prior to sending me back to Canada. And then when that money ran out, Tony was given a separate honorarium, totally unexpected, which was enough to cover 2 more chemo treatments. Each But God is another point on the journey. Here I am now with likely 3 more treatments before I'm given a PT scan to see what is happening. I pray that there will be very little of the cancer left. Here is a disabled missionary struck down with cancer in the middle of a glorious season of mission work. And in this season, I've blossomed in art and am about to publish a coloring book of prophetic drawings. I've taught children, teens, and adults how to do prophetic art. And as I've been squeezed further, the kids pray for me, and I'm progressively healed enough to go back to Canada safely. or even more than that. This can only be a but God. Also, Tony will be 79 soon, which is unusual for a long-term missionary. But Tony keeps going, with his strong mercy anointing and his love for the kids we work with. Who would call a senior citizen missionary? God would. The children and teens are loved on as an uncle, granddad, and father. He is a stable influence in their lives and speaks sometimes the voice of reason, and at other times, the merciful heart of God the Father. Seniors are often people that younger generations would forget, but God has a wonderful gift to give through them. Begin to train your heart and eyes to look for but God stories. Do you seem to be in an impossible situation? Do you need God's intervention? You need a but God. But remember, those but God moments aren't about you. They're about God. Don't forget them. Don't just pass them off. They are significant. These are but a few examples of God's wonderful intervention. This is only one of the ways he works. Often he works gradually as he remolds us into living representatives of Jesus. He replaces fear and hurt with love and experience. He makes the weak strong in a way the world never could. This requires persistence. This requires that determination to become an overcomer. And then there comes that point where we have done all we can. Ephesians 6 reminds us in spiritual warfare, after you've done all that you can, stand. Stand and wait. God has our back. Then it's God's turn with about God. He is faithful. Will you stand and wait for God today? God is never late. He was just in time for my chemo payments. He was just in time to pay the House of Mercy's electricity and phone bills. He will also come through with my healing before and as I go back to Canada. I am certain of this because Holy Spirit promised me twice in a small whisper to my heart. He said that South Africa would be the place of my healing. What is the intervention you're contending for? Don't forget his promises to you. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of believing in God's faithfulness, just as Joseph waited while he was in prison. Don't give up. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you give us so many kindnesses, especially the but gods. We thank you that these point to your glory. Teresa would say, you did this, and Teresa is right. She can't run that shelter without you. You are the one who transforms addicts and street people into overcomers that shine for you. Only you can take the prayers of children and bring healing to their visiting auntie with breast cancer. You took the weak to shame the strong. The children are empowered through their prayers for me, and I'm empowered by seeing them grow in you. I am thankful. Please touch the hearts of those who need a but God in their lives and in the lives of their family members. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Condescend and make himself the likes of a mere mortal man. Who but God would not regard equality with God a precious thing not to be held unto? Who but God? Who but God? Who but God? Only God would condescend for us. Choose the weakness of the cross, wept the tears that conquered sin, that we might laugh with him. Who but he who knew no sin would make himself the very thing he knew he could not look upon.
endure the cross and the scorn and shame, and choose the very weak things of this world to overcome the strong. Who but God? Who but God? Who but God? Only God would send us His only Son, obedient to death, our spotless one. Servant, Savior, so lowly. The likes of a mere mortal man. Who but God? 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 Who but God?
Wes King from his album A Room Full of Stories and Who But God. And we want to play one more song on this theme that Laurianne introduced in Ways to Grow in God. This one is called But God, and it's by Isaac Carey and James Fortune. When this ends, and I hope it does end, then we are going to close off this show, hopefully just ahead of tonight's scheduled load shedding. God bless you all. Look forward to being back with you a week from today. This is Tony Koppel signing off on CWCP Radio.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
You know, people have no idea what you went through to get to where you are. So many times it seemed like it was over. But God, Isaac Carey, tell him about it.
Every time I think that I'm all by myself. Oh, yeah. I just look up in the sky and that's where I find my help.
Somebody needs to hear this right here.
You might think that you got it all worked out.
Yep.
And you think that everything's okay. Yeah. There ain't nothing that you've done to deserve His mercy and His grace.
He gives us what we don't deserve. That's why we say it's amazing.
You were about to lose everything.
Yep. I know I'm not the only one who's been there.
When the doctor said in midday.
Yep. He made the doctor.
And the devil tried to test your faith.
He thought he really had you this time.
One good reason why you should still be alive.
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
I don't have not one, Ozzy.
That answer did you pass last night was meant to take your life.
If you be honest, if God hadn't covered you,
it would have been you in the grave. Been you with the pain.
Right.
When the judge said 20 to life, should have been calling your name, but there ain't nothing that you've done to deserve His mercy and His grace.
Can I get a witness on that? Now to every survivor listening, who's ever been counted out and even canceled out, and your situation may have looked impossible, and now people are looking for an explanation on how in the world you made it through what you went through. I don't want you to let everybody know your business, but I just want you to look at them and give them the short version of your testimony. And just tell them, you know what? It was nobody. Yep.
You have been tuned to CWCP Radio. The next program in this series will be in a week at the same time. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you. CWCP Radio is now in sleep mode.